All right, let's go back to Exodus tonight to the, let's go to the 13th. The 13th chapter. All right, the book of Exodus, and I want to look at a couple of other points concerning or thoughts concerning the pillar that led them and guided them, and I trust it'll be an encouragement to us tonight. All right, let's read verse 20 of this 13th chapter, verse 20 and 21 and 22. All right. And verse 20 says, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. All right, so notice that. Light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of the fire by night from before the people. All right, so once the Lord showed himself as the cloud and the pillar of fire, he did not take away the cloud until they got to the promised land. All right, he just stayed right there with them. And when the cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud stopped, they would then set up the camp. And of course, you remember that God told Moses a specific way that that they were to set up their camp, and it all revolved around the tabernacle. Once the tabernacle was built, and that was a portable thing, they could take it down, and so when the cloud would move, then they would take it down and follow the cloud. And so that was something that stayed with them. And so now here in this passage, they have come out of Egypt. They are marching in the direction that God would have them go. All right, now, let's pray real quick, and then I want to point out a couple of things to you, and we'll see what the Lord has for us tonight. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask now your richest blessings as we open your word and look at its truths. And Father, I pray that that your word will be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to each and every one of us this evening. I pray you'll bless those watching online. I pray that you will help all of us just to center our focus and center our thoughts upon your word this evening. So we'll give you the praise and glory for what you accomplish in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, there's a couple of things that I want to point out to you tonight about the cloud. Now, they have just left out of the crowded region where they were, up in the northern part where most of Egypt lived and where most of Egypt still lives, but the Lord led them, and I want you to think with me. First of all, I want us to consider the guiding pillar. All right? The cloud and the pillar guided them. Now, that's important. You know, this cloud, I pointed out to you last week, it was called the Shekinah. It was the glory of God. And they had great respect. They had great care and love for that whole idea of the glory of God and being led and directed by the glory of God. Now, we don't have a cloud today. All right? There is not a pillar of fire by night or a cloud by day. We don't have that. What do we have? We have the Holy Spirit that lives within us. Amen. All right? So, and don't forget that just as much as God is God and just as much as the Lord Jesus is God, the Holy Spirit is also God. He is not less than God. He is God. And so we need to understand that we don't follow a pillar of fire by night or a pillar of cloud by day. But we do have the fullness of the Holy Spirit that is available to each and every one of us. And the Holy Spirit is given so that the Spirit of God can guide us. Amen. You remember the Lord Jesus was talking to his disciples just before they left the upper room, and he said that if he goes away, that he would send another comforter. And the idea was that he was going back to heaven, but he would send another comforter to the disciples. And what did he say that comforter would do? Well, he was going to convict of sin, all right? He was going to convince men of sin. He was going to speak of judgment and so on and so forth. But then one of the key things was this. Jesus said that Spirit will guide you in all truth. That's a good thing. You know, we read in the scripture that the Holy Spirit is the author of this book. All right? All scripture is given by inspiration. And it is the Holy Spirit of God who spoke and who inspired the writing of God's word. And so who better than the author for us to go to find out what the Word of God has to say. Amen. You know, if somebody wrote a book, all right, some man or some woman wrote a book, and, well, let me just give you an illustration of this. A couple of years ago, Janet Walsh had written a book. It was like a Bible study book for ladies. And she put together all these little Bible studies. So I was in my office one day, and this lady stopped by. She said, Pastor, I'm confused about something. And I said, well, what are you confused about? So she brought the book in that Janet had written, and she said, I'm just not real sure what she's saying right here. And I said, well, let me read it. So I read it, and I'll be honest with you, I was not real sure what she was saying either. And so I said, well, you know what we need to do here is just call Janet and ask her. And so that's what we did. And lo and behold, Janet said, oh, yeah, well, there's a word or two that was left out of that, but accidentally. But here, look at it in this light. So when she said what she did, we go, oh, okay, well, that makes perfect sense now. All right, who better to ask what she meant than the person that wrote the book? Amen. All right, and it's the same way with the Bible. You can sit down with your Bible, and as I've told you over and over, the best commentary on the scriptures is the scriptures.
That's right.
And so you can read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit will guide you in all truth. All right, so let's think about the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Let's think about that as a picture of the guiding that all of us need. You know, the whole book of Exodus is filled with miraculous events that took place under the cloud. Now think about that. Miraculous things that took place under the cloud. All through the 40 years that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, they were never out from under God's guidance and protection. That cloud was always there. It stayed with them. It stayed with them day and night for the whole period until they crossed the Jordan River and then settled over in the land. And then the cloud rested upon the tabernacle. And then when they built the temple, it rested in the house of God in the temple. Now, what purpose did the guiding pillar serve? Well, we know that it was obviously a guide to them. I mean, think. I want you to think of this. All this ties in and paints a picture for us. But imagine that you're out in the desert. All right, it is hotter than blue blazes out there. And there's no water. If you go out in that desert, you better have some water with you,
right,
or you're not going to last very long. And so what did the cloud do? Well, it did a number of things. It blocked out the piercing rays of the sun as they marched, and it kept them refreshed and cool under the scorching desert sun. But then go from the daytime to the nighttime. And in the nighttime, it gets cold out in that desert. I mean, once the day's heat evaporates into the night, then the temperature drops and it gets cold out in that desert. And no doubt, the pillar of fire by night kept them nice and toasty in the evening. My brother and his wife stopped in our house yesterday and spent the night last night. And so I was up a little late entertaining them, or my brother entertaining me. And so he's crazy. That's what I mean by that. But we were sitting there a little late last night. So I went to bed late last night. Anymore, at about 9 o'clock, I start pumpkinizing. You know what I mean? I don't go to sleep at 9 o'clock, but I could go to sleep at 9 o'clock. If I went to sleep at 9 o'clock, I'd be up at 2. And I don't want to get up at 2. But anyway, so we goofed off and laughed and carried on last night. And finally at 11:30, I said, well, I better go to bed or I am never going to get up in the morning. And so I went upstairs and just, right to sleep. And then this morning when the alarm went off, I was laying there covered over, wrapped up in that cover. And the alarm went off, and I I hit it. It stopped, and then I thought to myself, "Oh, this blanket feels so good. I am so, oh man, I'm so comfortable here. I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up." Now, Karen had to get up early this morning for a faculty meeting over at her school. But I didn't know that. I didn't know she got up early or had to get up early. So that's what shook me was I was laying there and I thought, the light's not on in the bathroom. The light's always on in the bathroom. Because she gets up before I do, and I was laying there and I thought, where is she? And then I sat up on the edge of the bed and I listened. And I thought, well, I don't hear her downstairs. And I thought, well, I wonder where she is. And about that time, my phone went off, and she told me she forgot she had a faculty meeting and that she was not there. She said, I'll see you this evening. And so I thought to myself, wow, now I really want to go back to bed. Now I really want to go back to sleep. You know, that bed where and the spot where I was laying was just so warm, and I didn't want to get up. And I can imagine how wonderful it would have been. Those people knew the problem with the nighttime in the desert. They knew how cold it would get. And yet, here was the pillar of fire by night. I can imagine it was just like a little toaster oven for him, don't you? And it kept him warm through the night. I mean, it just served as a means of service for every need that Israel had. Now, you might remember when Egypt caught up to them at the water's edge at the Red Sea, and it looked like it was just going to be, there was going to be a huge slaughter. The cloud stood between the children of Israel and Pharaoh and his army, and it concealed the children of Israel from view. They could not see through the cloud to know where or what the children of Israel were doing. Now, think of the picture that we can glean from this pillar. Folks, there is no pillar of cloud and there is no fire now. It has long since faded from the sky. But think of the picture here. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said in John 8 and verse 12? He said, I am the light of the world.
Amen.
I am the light of the world. I think that the Lord Jesus was indicating by the use of this well-known phrase that what the cloud had been to Israel, he was prepared to be for those who know him as their personal Savior. He is the light of the world. Amen. Folks, if that cloud guided and protected and watched over and provided for the children of Israel, how much more is the Lord Jesus, who loves us so much that he came and died for our sins, how much more light can we have than him? Oh my, what a brilliant picture that is in my mind. And so you see, the Lord Jesus is our guide. By his spirit within us, by the example of his life, by the words of his word, and by the manifold indications of his providence, the Lord guides us over the difficult times and the wastelands of our earthly pilgrimage to the land where we desire to be. I mean, if you need guidance, folks, the Lord is going to guide you with his glorious light. He will guide you where he wants you to go. I had a young preacher recently, and a young pastor, and he said, "I feel like that the Lord is moving me from the church that I pastor." And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Why do you feel that way?" "Oh, I don't know. I just kind of feel this way. I just kind of feel like it's time for me to move." And I said, so you feel like it's time for you to move?" "Well, that's not really what I meant." I said, "Well, that's what you said." I said, "Let me ask you this. Has the cloud moved?"
"Yep. Right."
Manny got quiet on the other end of the phone. I said, "What you need to do is go over to the window, look out, and see if the cloud has moved. Now, if the cloud's moved, then it's time for you to move. But if the cloud's still there, then you just stay put."
Yep.
You just stay put. Several years ago, and it's been several years ago, 23 maybe years ago, there was a big church, down south. I'm talking about 5,000-6,000 people every Sunday. And their pastor died. And so they hired this other guy to come, and he tried to take the church the wrong way. And so those men had enough sense to meet with him and tell him that they're not going that direction, and if he has any sense at all, he'd just resign and walk away. And so that's what he did. All right. Now, he took a bunch of people with him, and he started another church that lasted a couple of years, and then it fizzled out. But anyway, I happened to be preaching down in that city, and it's a big city. I happened to be preaching in that city about 23 years ago. And after the service, there were five men, and those five men said, "We'd like to talk with you if you have a minute." And I said, "Well, I guess so." I said, "Who are you and what do you want?" And so they told me who they were and what they wanted, and they wanted me to pray about coming and being their pastor. Now, this was 23 years ago, and they said, you can bring whoever you want as staff. You can have all the liberty you want in that area." And I said, "Well, okay." I said, "Well, I'll at least pray about it." And so I prayed about it, and I came back home. And Larry Stainer came in my office, and I said, "Shut the door and sit down." So he shut the door and sat down, and I told him about it. And he said, "Wow." He said, "Can I go?" Now, you can hear him, can't you? Can I go? And I said, "Yeah, go ahead. You go do it." And he goes, "Oh, no. If you go, can I go with you?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going." And he said, "Well, what do you mean you're not going? And this opportunity of a lifetime." And I said, "I've got the opportunity of a lifetime. I mean, you know, I think I'll just stay right here." And he looked at me like you know, I was crazy. And I stood up and I said, "Don't even tell me that you would leave here. Don't even tell me that, because I don't believe it for a minute." And he smiled and he said, "What?" And I said, "Get up, come here." And I walked him over to the window, and I looked out, and there was a great big old cloud out just about over where the water tower is back here. and my window looks out towards that water tower. And I said, there's the cloud, we're not moving. He said, but that cloud's moving, I can see it. And I said, no, it's not. No, it's a figment of your imagination. And I grabbed him and pulled him away from the window, and I said, sit down, smart Ellie. I said, no, we're not leaving. That cloud is not moving. That cloud is not moving. And that's what I told him. And so I have used that same advice on many, many, many preachers through the years who have hit a snag. That's what life is all about. You run into a snag. What do you do when you hit a snag? Do you run? Do you leave? No. No. You take a couple of deep breaths and you go look out the window and make sure the cloud hadn't moved. And if that cloud hadn't moved, then don't you either. All right? Don't you move either. And so imagine the Lord Jesus, folks, is our guide. And he is going to help us and he is going to direct us. So during the day, when that cloud moved, they followed that cloud. When it stopped, they stopped. But the whole point is, as long as they stayed under the cloud, then the Lord was their guide.
Amen.
Does that make sense to you? All right. Now, secondly, in this idea, the pictures. Now, we're talking about the pictures that we can see from the pillar. The Lord Jesus is our guide, but then notice the Lord is our shield. He is our shield. Beneath his canopy, we are sheltered from the arrows of the sun of temptation. Amen. Shielded from that which would hurt and harm us. Yep. I have to go to the dermatologist every so often. I think I got a whole year now that I don't have to go back. But I was there back in January, first of the year, and so there was not too much had developed, in the past 3 months. And so she said, well, you can come back in a year now. And so what do you do? Well, you go in there and they look at you and they say, well, that looks a little suspicious. I say, suspicious? What's it, up to something? What do you mean it's suspicious? And she'll laugh, and then she'll say, well, I better remove that. Ah, you know? And so she gets that little bottle of frozen ice and, you know, sprays it on that thing. Man, it burns like fire. Burns like fire. If you just keep going back and realizing that these things just pop up, and the older you get, the more they pop up. Have you noticed that? Yeah. She said, if you just stay out of the sun. Yeah. I said, are you kidding me? Stay out of the sun. How do you stay out of the sun? It's in the sky. You know, it's there. How do you stay out? Well, you need to wear sunscreen. That's a girl thing. I'm not wearing sunscreen. I'm just not going to do it. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not one of these creams and lotions guys, you know. I don't do that. Don't like that. And I'm not going to do it. And just stay out of the sun. Well, you know. How about I just keep coming back here? Because you can just zap them off when I won't wait 5 years like I did the last time where you had to do surgery on me. I'll come back regularly. You see something, you zap it off. But I'm not staying out of the sun.
Right.
I just can't do it. You know, I mean, it's going to be spring and going to be able to play golf here in a little bit. So I'll wear a hat, and I might put sunscreen on my nose. I don't know, my ears. But anyway, you know, the Lord is our shield. Aren't you glad He is our shield? I mean, He keeps the devil away from us. He shields us from that which would hurt and harm our forward walk and march toward the promised land.
Amen.
And then thirdly, He is our light. You see, those who follow Him do not walk in darkness.
Amen.
We don't have to walk in darkness. You say, well, what do we walk in? Light.
Amen.
His light. Right here, this book. We walk in His light. And we don't walk in the darkness of ignorance. We don't walk in the darkness of the unknown. We don't even walk in the darkness of the unforeseeable. Whatever you may be facing in your Christian life, listen, throw open the door of your tent and look into the light that has promised to be there to guide you in your every step. You see, the Bible, the psalmist said it this way, He who watches over Israel never sleeps or slumbers.
Amen.
Never does. And that means that you and I can rest assured that He is there to guide us as well.
Amen.
No doubt Moses found great comfort from knowing that the pillar was there. I mean, like the chariot of God, the pillar went before the people of God. And it's very touching to read in the verse 22. It's very touching to read there that Moses tells us He took it not away. Now think about that for a moment, folks. As if neither sin, which they did, nor murmuring, which they did, nor disobedience, which they had plenty of.
That's right.
None of that could drive away Him who loves them.
Amen.
And loves us. The point is, folks, we can always trust in God's constant guidance and protection and light. Now, that's not a license to sin. Of course not. But we have that assurance, don't we?
Amen.
That He is our guide, He is our shield, and He is our light.
Amen.
All right, now, secondly, I want you to think with me of the route. R-O-U-T-E. Route. Some of y'all might say route. All right, but in West Virginia, we called it a route. What route are you taking? What way are you going? All right, the easiest, now think of this, the easiest route to Canaan would have been for them to go straight northeast. Just go northeast. That would have been the fast way. That would have been the quick way.
That's right.
They could just go northeast, walk right through Gaza, walk right along the King's Highway, go through Gaza, go right on up into the land of the Philistines. I mean, they could have been in the promised land in no time. In no time. A couple of weeks at best. It might have been 100 miles for them to go northeast if they had chosen to go that way. All right? But God didn't take them that way, did He? God did not want them to take the easy way.
Right.
I don't know how many Christians have said to me through the years, wow, Pastor, why does the Christian life have to be so difficult? I mean, it's trial after trial and test after test. Well, it's how you grow. That's how you trust.
Amen.
That's how you learn.
Right.
You know? And we have those times where the Lord has to work on us and do some things in our lives. Now, God sent them, instead of northeast, He sent them south. Southeast. I mean, instead of going northeast 100 miles and they'd have been there, they instead are sent down to the south. The cloud led them in the opposite direction of what might have seemed natural. And folks, everybody knew the direction. Everybody knew how to get to the land of Canaan. Everybody knew that. That was not something that the children of Israel were not aware of. But when the Lord started to lead them out, He did not take them the shortcut way. He did not take them the easy way. Instead, He took them south down to the place where the Red Sea splits, and part of it comes up on this side of Egypt and Saudi Arabia, and the other part comes up this side between Egypt and Jordan. Amazing, huh? I mean, you know, the easy thing would have been just to go northeast and boom, you're there. But the Lord took them in a completely different direction. And the direction in which He sent them was a perfect cul-de-sac. Look at your maps at the and look under the one that says the Exodus, and just notice that map, and you will, the route of the Exodus is what mine says, and you will notice that that they came down through the Gulf of beside the Gulf of Suez. They came right down that way, and then when they got down to almost the bottom of the wilderness of Sinai, when they got down there into the wilderness of sin, as we're told in the Scripture, then they were sent across that little cul-de-sac. They were sent due east. And when they got over to the water of the Red Sea in the Gulf of Aqaba, when they got over there, that's when the cloud went behind them. And now they're standing there looking across at Midian, at Saudi Arabia, and Midian. All right, that's where Moses' father-in-law lived. Remember that? Okay, so if you're looking at that map and you see, let's see, you see, what is, all right, you see on the left-hand side, you'll see the Nile break off into tributaries, and it'll say Giza. Do you see Giza on that anywhere? No? Am I the only one looking at the right map? Huh? Do you see Giza, G-I-Z-A? Do you see Nof, which is Memphis? Do you see that? Okay, good. All right, now, go up a little bit and go about 1 o'clock from Memphis, okay? And you'll see the word Succoth, S-U-C-C-O-T-H, all right? And that's the name that we read about here in verse 20. It says, and they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham at the edge of the wilderness. So on the first night, they left Succoth and they started going down. And if you will look now at the peninsula, at the Sinai Peninsula there, and look up at the top in the left, and you'll have a little inscription that says Wilderness of Shur. You see that? All right, that's the edge of the wilderness. Okay? And then God then from there led them down into that cul-de-sac. Now, folks, listen. I'm sure that they were all sitting there scratching their heads and saying, wait a minute. Where are we going? What in the world? Where are we going? But Moses trusted the Lord. Moses trusted the Lord. When they got on the other side of a city that's called that city Succoth and started south, they got to the edge of the wilderness. Now, you go beyond that, you're in the desert. You're in the desert. I mean, it's a brutal desert too. It's not just desert, it's wilderness. It's dangerous. And they probably, as they were walking to the south, they're probably thinking we are as lambs being taken to the slaughter. That's probably what crossed their minds. And you can imagine their dismay when they got down and stopped, the cloud stopped, and they stopped, and then they looked up, and there's the Red Sea staring at them. My. And I'm sure these observant people were all wondering and maybe even murmuring, but Moses was confident that God was in complete control of the matter. Folks, understand this. God's ways are not always our ways. And we need to learn that lesson. And the first time things don't go the way we think they ought to go, we have a tendency to question, God, what are you doing?
Right.
Don't question God. Follow God.
Amen.
But Moses had learned to trust in the Lord. I mean, with all he had been through, he had learned. And you remember, he said, though a host should encamp against me, my heart should not fear. The war should rise up against me. In this would I be confident.
Right.
Often God seems to place us into a wedge from which there is no escape. The very cloud is what sometimes directs us there. But realize when God leads you into a difficult situation, it is only God who can deliver you from that difficult situation. All right? And in that deliverance, show you a lesson that you'll never forget. And boy, that's exactly what God did. When all of a sudden that cloud went back over them, shielded them from the oncoming Egyptian army, and then all through the night that east wind blew, and when the sun come up the next morning, there was the pathway. There was the pathway. Man, can you imagine? And Moses just standing there smiling from ear to ear. I reckon he probably turned around and said, I told y'all. I told you. Amen. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from it. And Father, I just pray you'll help us to learn to trust you. Oh, sometimes it seems that you're taking us in the wrong direction. But your will for our lives is amazing. And Father, if we go into a cul-de-sac and it looks like there's no way out, well, that's when you provide a way out. And you've done that in our lives. You've done that in our church. You've done that through prayer. And Father, we just ask you to continue to show yourself faithful and true. I pray you'll seal this in our hearts and help us, Father, tonight to learn to trust you in all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.